Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Tonight is Hell in a Cell. But didn't we just see that? Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed seem SmackDown bound, and Samoa Joe can simply do no wrong. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio show and powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. My name is Jason Agnew, and on this week's show, I'll be joined by Dave Meltzer to get the details on a lot of returns and rumors in WWE. We'll play a Hell in a Cell edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and I'll also be joined by my longtime co-host Dan the Mouth Lavransky to take a look back at the week in wrestling and a look ahead to tonight's Hell in a Cell show. Now, if you're looking for our Hell in a Cell recap show, we do those live immediately following the pay-per-view offering, and we do them on Zoom. In order to get an invite, please subscribe to patreon.com/snmeradio. Then we'll run down the card for you tonight, and you can present your instant feedback and get your questions and comments ready to go. patreon.com/snmeradio. Get ready for tonight's after party. That's for tonight, but let's stick with today and take a look back at the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
We'll kick things off in the world of AEW as they had a couple big announcements this week. It was revealed that the Wednesday, September 22nd episode of Dynamite will emanate from Arthur Ashe Stadium, the first ever wrestling event to take place from the tennis facility, home of the U.S. Open, and an iconic facility in the region. AEW will sell 17,000 tickets for the show, even though the capacity is listed at more than 24,000. Tony Khan then chatted to PWI's Mike Johnson to let us know some details on how AEW is going to work as their television coverage is rapidly expanding later this year. Rampage will be live on some weeks and taped other weeks after Dynamite. The August Rampage debut will be live in addition to any go-home weeks for pay-per-views. The all-out go-home Rampage will be at the Sears Center, that's the same venue as the pay-per-view. When they go out on the road in July, Monday's Dark Elevation shows will be filmed prior to Dynamite and will be a shorter show. He's also going to procure a venue in order to film Tuesday's Dark shows in addition to other content so he can give 100% attention to the show and not have to worry about filming Dynamite, Elevation, and Dark all in one night. That's also, you got to figure, going to help crowds as well, because all of those in one night, forget it. The crowd is going to be so tired. Here's a wacky note from AEW. MJF became the first ever wrestler to launch his own cryptocurrency on Thursday, available on Rally, $MJF. Is that how you say it? I don't know. It has over 330 supporters after launching Thursday afternoon and over $137,000 in backing, over 114,000 coins in existence, and as of 4:30 p.m. Eastern a couple days ago, the MJF dollar, I guess, can be purchased for $5 a U.S. currently on Rally. So if you're a cryptocurrency and wrestling fan, this is for you, Mark Andrada. PWI Insider reported that Karrion Kross faced Dolph Ziggler and Bronson Reed faced Bobby Roode in their dark matches at this past Friday Night SmackDown. Kross, Scarlett, and Reed were backstage at the show. PWI Insider wrote that there was talk that Kross and Scarlett would be brought back next week, possibly to do some promos. Dark matches were so the key powers in WWE could see Kross, Scarlett, and Reed live. and firsthand and figure out how they're going to bury their characters. To follow up that very terrible Eva Marie re-debut on Raw, where the announcers had to all play dumb and pretend they didn't know who Piper Niven was, well, WWE has filed for the trademark Dewdrop. Fightful reported after Niven's Raw debut that Dewdrop was pitched to be her name on the main roster. Wow. Speaking of names, remember the Iconics? Well, Cassie McIntosh, formerly known as Peyton Royce in WWE, has filed the trademark for The Inspiration. Two eyes on Inspiration. So I could see that being their new tag team name. Not bad. Better than Dewdrop. During an appearance on the Wrestling Perspective podcast, Dori Pranj, that's Ruby Riott, said she won't be going back to using her old Heidi Lovelace nickname. She actually likes the name Ruby and wishes to keep using it somehow. Well, it's easy, Dori. Why to an I? Talk to Terry Guerin. He'll give you the scoop. That's Rhino. In a post on Instagram, ACH announced that he's stepping away from professional wrestling, saying, "No need for the dramatic or emotional wordplay. As of today, I will officially step away from professional wrestling. Thank you all for the support and love." Oh, maybe he and Leo Rush will be forming a tag team called the Retirees. Impact Wrestling has announced that Josh Alexander will defend his X Division Championship against Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, Chris Bay, Rohit Raju, and Petey Williams in an Ultimate X match at Slammiversary. Pay-per-view is taking place on Saturday, July 17th. Now, the main event on that card will be Sami Callihan taking on Impact World Champion Kenny Omega. Now, this past week in storyline, Don Callis was fired as an Impact Vice President in a message delivered by Tommy Dreamer via the Anthem Sports and Entertainment Board. It's okay, Don. Don't worry. Being fired by Anthem can happen to the best of us. ROH announced that Glory by Honor 2021 will take place at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania over two nights this August. Night one is taking place on Friday, August 20th. Night two is set for Saturday, August 21st. Our best wishes go out to former TNA announcer Don West. On Monday, West revealed that his radio show is on hold because he's been diagnosed with a brain lymphoma and will begin immediate treatment. West wrote he's praying that chemotherapy will help him heal faster, and he hopes he'll be back on the radio soon. All the best, Don West. That guy is a big personality, and there were certain moments in TNA where he was great. Let's end on a positive note. Two positive notes, two baby notes. Congrats go out to Renee Paquette and John Moxley as Renee gave birth to a baby girl this week. They have named her Nora. And on Friday, Brandi Rhodes gave birth to a baby girl as well. The daughter of Brandi and Cody was named Liberty Iris Reynolds. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer will return. We'll talk a little bit about Samoa Joe's return to NXT and what they may have up their sleeve for Samoa Joe, and just a great performance by William Regal. Going to talk about that several times on tonight's show because it was top-notch and I want to spotlight it. That is all still to come. Stick with us. Sunday night's main event. Having my baby. What a
lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. Well, how's your doodle? Rolling baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box, a whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Let's go a little deeper into the news of the week. Very WWE heavy with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave, I watched a Hell in a Cell on Friday night with Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio. And yet again, I'll be watching a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view tonight. This just defies logic, stunting that beforehand. To me, what's the story with WWE moving this over?
They just decided Thursday to do it. It had been in discussion for a while, and I guess that for whatever reason, I mean, I don't even know the reason, because I just assumed they wanted more people to see it, and then I was told that wasn't the reason either. But they made the idea that they decided to pull it from the pay-per-view, and it's an interesting thing because it's the first time that I could think of that they've done something exactly like this. They pulled stuff like, if you remember WrestleMania, they pulled a couple of WrestleMania matches and put them on SmackDown to create SmackDown WrestleMania.
Yes.
But that was a time constraint thing.
Yep.
I mean, this is just, an example of the fact that you're prioritizing TV and that the pay-per-view money is guaranteed. It's not like you have to earn it every month. You don't even have to earn subscriptions every month. It's out of your hands. So spread it up and, put some stuff on Friday. And the pay-per-views are not what they used to be. I mean, match-wise, quality-wise, they may be better than before because there's got a lot of good wrestlers. But as far as building to the shows and making the shows big, I think that they're pretty much at the point now where it's 3 or 4 a year.
So in that case, then I kind of feel like saying, why bother? Like, I've now seen what could have been the Hell in a Cell main event on Friday. Why do I got to watch another show tonight? Why don't we just deflect some of these matches to Raw? Like, why have the pay-per-views? Is it just a matter of, more is more in content?
Well, I mean, for the same reason, because then you have to do it for Peacock. I mean, they promised them, and they promised them 12 big shows a year, and whenever, so this is the weekend of it, and one of the things also is that it's you can do it different ways. They announced two new matches and everything, but it's like, I think that they want to do, 3-hour shows and give matches time. But then again, you had Roman and Ray and, half the matches during commercial break. So
yeah.
It's like, you gave them time, but you really didn't give them the match that you gave them the finish that you were going to give them on pay-per-view. You gave them the match story, but you didn't even see the whole match.
So, I mean, with the continued push to WWE wanting higher TV ratings, I've heard some rumbles this week about different stunts that they're looking up, whether it be the... So what is likely here? I've heard of WWE World Cup. I've heard King of the Ring, the name being thrown around, and I've also heard...
I've definitely heard King of the Ring a lot this week.
Yeah.
I've heard all of them, and, they're... The thing that people don't know is that the networks are always pitching ideas, whether it's TNT, whether it's Fox, whether it's USA. And generally, I don't want to say that they're, sometimes they're used. I mean, the 24/7 idea was like a USA Network idea, that they just felt, originally was a way to keep viewers for hour three. It didn't work, but we have the 24/7 thing that's, kind of been forgotten about lately.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot, but there's always... this idea of like, let's, because it's TV people, it's like, let's do this for, it's a way to build ratings. And they usually don't because they just usually don't. So, that's the deal.
Okay, let's talk about some returns here and some talent moving around. First of all, I mean, I absolutely loved Samoa Joe in NXT, this enforcer role. It was very exciting, and hell, I knew it was coming, and I still loved it. To me, though, I mean, choking out Adam Cole seems to be steering us right into an in-ring return for Samoa Joe to do physical on show one.
Yeah, I mean, like, the biggest match I think that people want to see is Samoa Joe against Karrion Kross, since Karrion Kross beat everybody at the TakeOver show. So, obviously, like, it's like, what level of clearance is he at? Because it's not like he took any bumps. He just choked out Adam Cole and he just stared in people's faces. But, I mean, people were very into everything that Samoa Joe did, this week. It was I think that was a big success. And they needed that jolt. And, here's the thing. If he can wrestle and if he is cleared to wrestle, I can't imagine him not wrestling because it's the biggest matches they can put together.
Also, I mean, Samoa Joe made the impossible come to life, and that was me being interested in Karrion Kross.
Well, yeah, when that match was over, it was kind of like, to me, it's like he beat everyone. Finn Balor's pretty much gone, and he beat him anyway. So it's like, who's left? And there's no one, So, and I knew Samoa Joe was coming in, so it was kind of like, well, this all adds up to Samoa Joe, but is he cleared to do a full match? And that I don't know.
Also, you got to figure that, you know, we had talked about, I really thought that they were going to pull the title off Karrion Kross without getting pinned in that five-way match because they allowed themselves the ability to do that. And they want Karrion Kross off the brand, seeming as now, this past SmackDown, we had Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed do dark matches. The intention and the whispers have to be, for sure, moving Karrion Kross at this point, but what do you think the speed of that is?
Yeah, I mean, Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed were brought there so, like, the writers and everyone that's there can see them in the different elements. And, yes, they are planned for the main roster, and they both have the singles championships in NXT. And one would think that having him not just win, but dominate the four guys and then leave, you know, that seems to make no sense. Why devalue the guys who are staying? I'm trying to, like, I was thinking back, it's like, this is the exact opposite of what, like, everybody, like, if you were one of those small territories in the old days, and, you know, the, you know, when your champion is leaving, I mean, it's like, what would you not do? And this is like, this is exactly what I would not do. So it's kind of weird. But that's what they did. And with Bronson Reed, it's the same thing. It's like, they had a chance to get the belt off Bronson Reed without beating Bronson Reed. Yeah. And they didn't do that either. So, whatever, you know, I mean, I think that they can, you know, they can beat Bronson Reed and it's no big deal on the way out with whether it's Escobar, and that's what it looks like it'll be. But with Kross, the thing is that, like, if Joe's the only one and then Joe wins the title, you know, I mean, but I don't expect that one. I mean, I don't think that if Joe was going to be champion, I don't think that they would put him in that role as assistant to Regal, especially if it's now. So maybe Joe costs Kross the title with one of those other guys that's out there. Maybe that's how you do it.
Yeah, maybe. Bit of a weak champion. Bronson Reed was a surprise to me getting the call-up. Seems like that's very much accelerated, but I'm guessing it's just strictly a size thing.
I think that they know that they need fresh stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, the house show advances, even though they say different, the house show advances are really concerning to me, and especially with how much that they've promoted the house shows. But so as soon as they did that, I remember when I saw the advances after the first day, and I was going like, this is going to make some moves. And then everyone's, oh, what moves can he make? You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same guys week after week after week. And it's like, well, I guess the moves are is you bring guys up, and I guess they looked at the roster, and, you know, they don't see Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Gargano and these guys as the guys. So Kross has always from day one been, you know, the idea was NXT to, you know, get him up to speed and then move him to the main roster as soon as possible. And I guess if you look at that roster, Reed's a big guy, and most of the guys there are not big guys.
It looks like they're also, with those plans in place to move them, freshening up the NXT roster. We've seen the Diamond Mine supposed to be opening up this week, and then the mysterious cell phone charging. Any indication as to who these two promos are for?
No, but they trademarked a whole bunch of names, so I figured that those are the people who it's for. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Shooter Group, it's like, you know, the Casper brothers and who's the other one? There's a couple of amateur guys that people have been raving to me about. That's actually in The Observer, but the Casper brothers, you know, are the ones that, I recall right off the top of my head that have been in developmental. And they were both, you know, Division I high-level wrestlers. And, you know, again, it's kind of a Shooter Group, so it kind of fits in. They do have different guys with fighting and wrestling backgrounds, you know, or you know, plenty of them in that system. But I don't know the degree of ready that they all are.
Becky Lynch spotted at the Performance Center working out. This is something that they've been talking about for a while behind the scenes, but it looks like she's finally set to make her return. Do you think this is a SummerSlam thing as well in order to be able to pack that stadium because it's so large?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, if she's getting ready now, I would think the return date should be SummerSlam. Why do it any other place?
Yeah.
Because if you remember, they were going to bring her back at Mania, and there were certain things that had happened. And one is she wasn't under contract at that moment, and she's since signed her new deal. So, yeah, I think that that's, you know, as far as – so SummerSlam, it makes all the sense in the world, you know, to bring her back in front of a big crowd like that.
Eva Marie appears on Raw, does not wrestle this week, is paired with Piper Niven, who, well, that whole scenario was embarrassing with them not knowing who Piper was, but we don't have to get into that. Is the idea and intention for Eva Marie to actually have her in the ring, or are they just parading her around to manage?
I don't know what the whole deal is. I think it'll play out, but I think that the idea is that Piper Niven, who's going to have a different name this week, they're going to give her a name, that, you know, she'll be doing the matches and it's Eva Marie will be standing there taking all the credit. And, you know, obviously to build down the line to her, to you know, her bullying Piper Niven and Piper Niven going babyface, kind of the Alexa Bliss and
Nikki Cross,
Nia Jax thing, you know, from a couple of years back, that kind of, that same type of a dynamic.
Oh, I feel like this is just a full-on repeat of the Nikki Cross character with Piper Niven.
I mean, it's different. I don't, you know, I mean, I guess it could wind up that way too. But who knows? You know, I mean, obviously the idea is to feud her with Eva Marie, but at the same time, Eva Marie would probably get another woman to be in that spot as opposed to Eva Marie, because I think that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's Eva Marie's going to be tough in the ring, especially with today's standards.
And no doubt. All right, Dave, before we go, Antonio Inoki, what is his current status? Having some terrible medical issues.
Yeah, he's got a number of different things, and he's very, very weak. And he did a video, a little over a week ago. And it was concerning. I mean, and he's been hospitalized. He's been more in the hospital than not all year from a variety of different things. And, his back is really messed up. He's wheelchair bound. He's lost a ton of weight. And it's sad to see. I mean, because he was like one of the, you know, I mean, in that country, I guess the closest comparison would be Hulk Hogan. But he was bigger than Hulk Hogan, you know, actually a lot. Because he was a lot more mainstream, but I'd say he's like halfway between Hogan and Ali in that culture, and when that happens, you know, or whatever, it's people have seen it, and everyone's kind of sad and fearing the worst, and it's been talked to me about like last year a couple of times when his health issues became kind of public. It was like, what, you know, New Japan had a very bad split with Antonio Inoki years ago, and he nearly killed the company. And it's like he's a persona non grata in a way, yet he's the founder of the company, and he's the most famous historical figure in the company. And I remember being talked to, and it was just like, you know, if something happens to Inoki, how do we handle it? And it's kind of like, well, you can't say he's persona non grata at that point, because he's still, to many people, when you say New Japan Pro Wrestling, in Japan, the first name they're going to say is Antonio Inoki, and if you ask like the famous matches in New Japan history, it's still going to be Inoki Ali and Inoki and Stan Hansen and Inoki and Andre the Giant and Inoki and Willem Ruska. You know, I mean, it's like he's the, you know, even though those matches were in the 70s and 80s, it's like he is, you know, it's like if you say WWE to a lot of people, it's still going to be Hulk Hogan.
Yep, no doubt. Those are the memories that we have. Dave, that's great for this week. On the website, on the Observer, you, as a follow-up to Dark Side of the Ring and the Tom Billington story, you had an interview with Michelle Billington.
Yeah, we did that on Friday, and yeah, I thought it was great. You know, she was very, very open, makes you think a lot of different things in a lot of different directions. And yeah, I thank her very much for doing the interview. I know her sister pretty decently, but she was good on Dark Side of the Ring. And it was interesting, you know, getting her perspective, because Dynamite is regarded as a monster. And she obviously still has a lot of feelings in a positive way about that period and, you know, a big period in her life. And she doesn't block out the negative. I mean, we talked about the negative, but, you know, she also has memories of the positive. And then it's sad because, you know, the kids grew up without the father and his legacy in wrestling. When we talk about it, it's like you and I both know the Dynamite Kid's legacy in wrestling, but it is not one of those people who is on the WWE list of Sergeant Slaughters who you bring back and all that. I mean, he's been a persona non grata when it comes to WWE forever, and probably, I don't want to say we'll never be in their Hall of Fame, because someday they'll throw them in that, what is it, that other wing.
Founders,
you know,
or legends, historical.
I mean, he'll be in that for sure at some point,
yeah,
quietly, like Bruiser Brody and Wahoo and all those people.
Yes.
But in like the, you know, if they were ever going to put him in, it would have been with Davey, and they didn't. So, I mean, that kind of tells you that that will never happen. And, you know, he does deserve, does he deserve it as a wrestler? Yes. Does he deserve it as a human being? You could argue no, but then again, we'll go look at the list of that WWE Hall of Fame as human beings, and there's a lot of people on that list that are, you know, you would argue strongly against. You know? So,
yes.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, that's great, Dave. Check that out, listeners. If you like, it is from Friday's show. It features the interview with Michelle Billington, also Dr. Alex Patel on that show as well. Great work as always, Dave, and we'll talk to you next week at the same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his work, of course. All right, taking a break, coming back. Turnbuckle Trivia, Hell in the Cell Edition next, and then Dan Lavransky joins me a little bit later to round out tonight's show, and we're going to talk more about Samoa Joe. I can't tell you, well, I will tell you how much I enjoyed that segment this week. It's all to come right here. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Boris Hagelin.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on this... Hell in a Cell Sunday on Sunday Night's Main Event. So with that in mind, I think we can figure out what we're doing here today. Let's welcome on our competitors. Paul is on the line from Waterdown. Hello there, Paul.
Hey, Jason.
Did you study?
No, I did not.
All right, just checking. Brandon from South Carolina is your opponent. Did you study?
I did. I studied a little bit of Hell in a Cell and Father Sons, because you've been talking so much about Dominic. So I didn't know which way you were going with it.
Well, it was one of the two, to be honest with you. I thought briefly about doing a Dynamite Kid thing, but we went against that, and I had discussed both of those with myself in my brain, and Hell in a Cell won out. So that's your topic today. 5 questions each. Whoever wins gets a t-shirt from ballergear.ca, and I'll tell you all about our new t-shirts once we finish the game, because there's a couple new selections up there. So here we go. Paul, you're player 1. Brandon, you're player 2. Paul, the first Hell in a Cell took place at which WWE pay-per-view event?
Bad Blood.
That is correct. Very good. All right. And Brandon, the most iconic Hell in a Cell pay-per-view took place the following year between Mankind and Undertaker. At what event did it take place?
No Way Out.
Brandon, I started with 2 easy questions.
I know. I blanked.
Oh, man. No, it is King of the Ring, 1998. The Bad Blood was 1997. Right. Oh, boy. That might be a tough one to come back from, Brandon. They get harder from here on in. So, Paul, to you. Now, I mentioned King of the Ring, 1998. That was that very famous Hell in a Cell. But who won that actual King of the Ring event that year?
Oh, was that the Billy Gunn year?
It was not the Billy Gunn year. It was the Ken Shamrock year, actually. So, Brandon, a follow-up question to you. Who did Ken Shamrock defeat in the final that year?
Oh, no. The Rock?
Yes, that's the correct answer. Very good. 1-1 tie. You've redeemed yourself, Brandon. Okay. Paul, back to you. The first Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, the actual pay-per-view name, Hell in a Cell, was on October 4th, 2009. Who opened the pay-per-view by losing the World Heavyweight Championship in a cell match?
CM Punk?
That's correct. I would have never got that. That's correct. He lost it to The Undertaker. So, Brandon, a similar type question, that same event. The final match on that card was also a Hell in a Cell match, but it was a tag team match. Who lost?
Legacy?
Yes! How do you get that and not get King of the Ring? Correct answer. Legacy, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr., DX defeated them in the main. Well, very good. Paul, back to you. The first Crimson Red version that blinds us all every year, but the first one of those happened in September of 2018. That's when they changed the bars to be red. Who was in that match?
Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton.
That's correct, Paul. Very good. Again, that would have totally blanked out of my memory. Now, Brandon, keeping recent, at last year's Hell in a Cell match, the cell just, it just wasn't enough for WWE and their stipulations. For the first match on that card, what else was layered into the cell match? What other stipulation?
No idea.
It was an I Quit match between Reigns and Jey Uso. Think about that. I will give them credit that's been a year now. And, I guess it's... No, because this would have actually been the Money in the Bank. But it's almost been a year, and that angle still feels pretty good. So good on WWE for that angle. 3-2 right now for Paul. That means, Paul, if you get this right, it's a mathematical win. Who won the WWE Championship in the main event of last year's Hell in a Cell show?
I'm going to say The Fiend.
It was not. It was a very forgettable reign of Randy Orton defeating Drew McIntyre, shockingly. So with that, Brandon, we go to you. Last year's show was actually featured a third Hell in a Cell match, and who is in it?
Both people.
Yes, please.
You always just got to guess Charlotte.
Well, I can already stop you. I think she was off last year at this time. It was actually Sasha defeated Bayley to win the SmackDown Women's title on that show. So with that in mind, it is a 3-2 victory for Paul. Congratulations, Paul. You've got the win. We'll be sending you a t-shirt. Brandon, I'm sure you will be back once again. And hopefully next time your studying does pay off. Thanks, guys.
Good game. Thanks, Brandon. Great game.
It is amazing what we don't remember from just 1 year ago. I mean, I would have never got that Randy Orton question right because I fully don't remember. I'm staring at the results right now. Randy Orton defeated Drew McIntyre by pinfall in the main event for the WWE Championship 1 year ago. It was 30 minutes long. I have zero recollection of it. However, you know, I do remember the Reigns and Jey Uso match from a year ago, and then layering on the I Quit match, for better or for worse, they did that. But it's amazing what we don't remember from just 1 year ago. Though, I guess this year has been a little bit of a blur, to say the least. Hey, as I said, I wanted to let you guys know that we do have some new t-shirts available at ballergear.ca. A couple ways to get these. First of all, you can sign up for our Patreon, and then you can play Turnbuckle Trivia and hope to get one of these babies for free, or you can just hit up ballergear.ca and scroll on over to the Sunday Night's Main Event page. We got a couple new t-shirts. First of all, we got the NXT Talk logo on a t-shirt. If you're a fan of NXT Talk and what Boris and Matthew do, you can pick that up. Along with that, this is a bit of a combo idea for another one. You guys have seen Roman Reigns' shirt, the Acknowledge Me shirt. Well, my pal Darren, who runs Baller Gear, came to me and he had designed something that said Acknowledge Us. as in Sunday night's main event. And I was like, oh, no, that's kind of weird. But then I looked at them, me, and we have M-E in S-N-M-E. So you can now get yourself an Acknowledge S-N-M-E t-shirt available at ballergear.ca. And there's a couple items on sale. The mugs that are up there right now are on sale for $18.88 Canadian. That is a lot cheaper than they normally are. So check them on out, ballergear.ca. We got to take a break. Mouth joins me next, who uses his coffee mugs for bourbon. That's full on not a lie. We will be back with Lavransky next right here on Sunday night's main event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I want bourbon. I want scotch. I want beer.
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth Lavransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy.
And now Ray gonna climb up to the top rope. Ray climbing high. Splash! Mysterio's got an opportunity, but Ray may have hurt himself. Roman Reigns is looking to put Mysterio away. Reigns smells blood. Reigns understands. And look at now. And Ray just taps out. Ray's got a tap out.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event. The final segment here with a gentleman that will be joining me for the after party for Hell in a Cell. And depending when you're listening to this, we might be live right now. But if you're listening to it in the afternoon, then I say, hey, join us when we're live tonight after Hell in a Cell. We always do our after parties. And my co-host is always Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Hello, Mouth.
Hello, Jay. How you doing? I guess this is the final part of the show. This technically is the main event right now for us then, right?
Yeah, it's the main event. What I figured I would do, Mouth, is I would take something that I promised for later tonight, and I'd move it up to this afternoon. Because let's give away the main event before the actual pay-per-view happens. How does that sound? That's logical, right?
Unbelievable. This one is a real mind bender. I can't figure out what they're thinking by doing this. It's ridiculous. And to me, it hurts a pay-per-view that was already hurting to begin with.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've talked so much, Mouth, about the fact that WWE has handicapped themselves by giving stipulation matches, pay-per-view names, the stipulation matches names, right? Like, this is Hell in a Cell, so we know we're getting Hell in a Cell because it's called Hell in a Cell, but there's really no justification for the feud to be a Hell in a Cell, right? Yeah. That hurts it to begin with. And then along with that, you've now shown me the gimmick that this pay-per-view is based on, but you've shown it to me two nights before. So why do I want to see that same gimmick again? It's taken everything special away from something that doesn't even feel special anymore. Can you make something less than special? Congratulations, WWE. You've done it twofold. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling.
It's very strange. I don't understand it in the slightest. The only thing I could sort of think of is this something to do with the broadcast platforms themselves.
Sure.
That Fox wanted something more spectacular, but then Peacock is kind of getting ripped off because this is not a show that will attract new subscribers, I don't think. So I was just completely perplexed. There was nothing in the match that made me think it needed to be done on SmackDown to lead to something at the pay-per-view. That was kind of my first thought. I thought, well, maybe they're going to do something and it's going to, you know, be a part of the pay-per-view or will affect the pay-per-view. No, they didn't do that either. He cleanly beat Rey Mysterio. Your whole scenario about Father's Day goes out the window now.
Well, I'm kind of, listen, if there's a silver lining, that's it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, because that was looking like they were going to go in that direction. So, I don't know. And do we see these guys on the pay-per-view?
No.
Do we see Roman Reigns?
No.
Do we see Rey Mysterio?
We do not see Roman Reigns on the pay-per-view. All reports are that he is not supposed to be on the pay-per-view. You know what WWE's in the situation of? You're absolutely right with trying to please the networks. But you know
what?
You know who they are now? They are a single child of divorced parents. And those divorced parents are Fox and NBC. And they're trying to please both of them. And they're really having a hard time gaining mommy and daddy's love because mommy and daddy aren't being nice about it. And they continue to pressure them for more love.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was the only thing I could wrap my head around for this is that Fox wanted something big time. And so they said, okay, we're going to sacrifice this match to give it. Now, the funny part is we'll have to see when the ratings and stuff come in, whether this actually had any kind of major effect, seeing the show airs on Friday nights to begin with, which is already a troublesome spot. I'd like to see if this actually helped anything. And in terms of the pay-per-view, like I was so not interested. Like really, that was kind of the one of the little thing that had my interest. That match was it. Now that that's gone, like, you know, I love doing the after parties with you, Jay, but I'm not really looking forward to the build up to it.
We're in the same boat and we are rowing the same way. Because it's not looking good tonight. So let's take a break from that because for patrons, we're going
to
give you
just one other thing too though, quick. The match that they picked to kind of have the second Hell in a Cell, Bianca Belair and Bayley?
Yeah.
That's a replacement for Roman Reigns and Mysterio. No disrespect to those ladies at all, but that is not a match I want to see in Hell in a Cell. So the whole thing is just kind of crumbled in the last few days as far as I'm concerned. And not only that, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the 5,000th time. Woohoo!
Well, also, we also have Rollins and Cesaro, which is another rematch. But we're going to preview Hell in a Cell for patrons with the Sunday Night's Main Event Extra section. If you want that, you got to be a patron. Sign up now. Let's talk about something good, okay? Let's keep it positive here for the radio show. And that is, Mouth, I have to say, I listen to our pals, Boris and Matt, doing the NXT Talk podcast, and I loved their review of NXT, and I knew Samoa Joe was going to be on NXT, and I still sat there and watched William Regal and Samoa Joe, and I just had the constant chills watching this segment. This is what wrestling storylines are supposed to be. They did the impossible. They made Karrion Kross interesting to me.
the amount of emotion that was created in that segment, like Regal's performance was off the charts. Like you felt every single thing that he said, you know, he's crying. He was just so great with the emotion and just bringing you right in and bringing this whole thing. And it's a pretty simple, basic angle too, yet it was executed well. It's going to be interesting to see how exactly Joe is used in this. Is he meant to just be intimidating? Is he meant to be an actual physical enforcer? Lots of interesting things to come out of this. So I thought it was amazing. Regal just blew me out of the water. He was amazing.
Well, I agree. Regal was great. The other two guys were good too. So about Joe, I mean, you know he's going to be a physical enforcer. We've already seen him take issue with Adam Cole. And
right.
If you look at what's happening with Karrion Kross, and I was just speaking to Meltzer about this, with Karrion Kross always being destined for the main roster, and that seemed to be, you know, put on, you know, on speed this week because we see him getting his tryout at SmackDown.
Right.
I just don't know why they didn't usher him off the show when they had the opportunity with that five-way.
Well, that's it. Exactly. He could have just, that's it. I mean, he loses the match and then we just have him. Yeah. He shows up on SmackDown and we start things there. So I'm not really sure what the thinking was there, but you know, that's kind of standard here. I'm just curious to see what the first big program is here involving Joe and that. And what do you think it actually leads to an actual match down the road? Do you think Joe gets in the ring or do you think Joe stays strictly as enforcer?
I don't know if they would want to see Joe defeat Karrion Kross, but what I do see after choking out Adam Cole is Joe and Adam Cole in the ring together at some point.
Wow, and that would be a good match. I guess this all hinges on what Joe's status is,
because
we don't really know, right? The fact that he's coming back in this role kind of makes you think he still maybe wasn't cleared by the doctors to be full-time in-ring. So that's the question there. But then if it leads to a match and he has a full-blown match, I would think if he has a full-blown match, that would have to lead him back into being full-time in the ring, don't you think? I mean, most people, I think, would rather see him in the ring as a sidekick to Regal.
Well, you know, the thing about Joe, Mouth, tell me something that he's done that isn't good.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, that's true.
Good. I agree with you. People are going to want to see him in the ring, but look, like, check him off. Joe in the ring, still great. Joe on commentary, great. Joe in this enforcer role, great. Joe reading a fairy tale, great.
Right? He was like, amazing.
The man, yeah. Also, I guess it really doesn't matter, but I root for people more when I can somehow read into their personalities, and we had him on years ago, and he was he's a good guy.
Yes.
Everything I've seen of him from his social media presence, he's a good guy. He's someone I want to see succeed. He's someone I want to like, and he's someone that, despite he's a constant chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
Yes. Well, and think about it, even when he was in places like TNA, Jay, and how his stuff is some of the stuff you remember the best from that period when he was there, you know? So he's always been able to be good at making the best out of what's presented to him. He certainly has a large hardcore following that's been rooting for him since day one. And personally, I mean, I always loved him in the ring, so I would like to see a return to in-ring. But like you said, having him on commentary was like a breath of fresh air, and you noticed it the minute he was gone.
Yeah.
You noticed it right away. So I agree. There are things he can do, but ultimately I would love to see him get back in the ring. So I hope there aren't health issues behind this current program.
This also gives a very good indication of how much value there is to shifting an experienced performer into the NXT brand, allowing the NXT brand to slightly refresh with some new blood injected. NXT it needs to start acting like the AHL of hockey, meaning like a AAA. And that means you have guys going up and you have guys going down. You both have prospects and you have veterans. And it becomes a learning place. And I think someone like Joe, I think the same type of run could reinvigorate Nakamura down the line as well. And it's like you have that veteran there that not only is remembered as being a veteran, but also perhaps is from that glory period of NXT from 5 years ago.
Yes, yeah, definitely. No, that is a great way. I mean, that works in everything, right? I think, especially in professional wrestling, it's very helpful to have the veterans. I mean, one of the other things that I know that you liked on NXT this week was all the stuff with Ted DiBiase. And it's great to bring those guys in. We've got Arn Anderson with Cody, Tully with, FTR and stuff in AEW. So that, to me, has always been a classic kind of formula that works really, really well with professional wrestling. So, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be lots of young talent in NXT that will approach Joe, that watched him probably when they were getting started, or maybe even an inspiration. So I can't see it being anything but a positive, both for us watching and for those behind the scenes.
So let's talk Ted DiBiase. I mean, this week we saw a physical altercation with LA Knight, nabbing him, getting a punch in, And I watched it a couple times. I laughed out loud when Ted immediately went back to flat back, slap the arms. I was impressed with the guy because he's someone who, you know, he had the terrible, terrible back problems. He had the Lloyd's of London insurance settlement. And listen, Ted's not going to work a match or anything like that. But just dropping that one bump, I was like, there it is. It all comes back to you.
Well, think about it, Jay. I mean, if you remember DiBiase in his prime, he was the bumping machine.
Yeah.
He was amazing. He would do that friggin' crazy bump where he would get body slammed and there would be so much bounce that he would go right up, straight up and pivot on his head and fall over again. I remember his bumps used to always blow my mind, the stuff that he could get away with. So, you know, that's it. It does come back, and it's perfectly fine for him to take one bump or two every once in a while. You know me, I love it when the old veterans are used to help younger guys. It gives it a connection to the past as well as the present. It creates a cool story. And I liked this for LA Knight to actually turn on Ted and beat him up. It turns him into a huge heel for anyone that's been a fan of the product for a long time. And Cameron Grimes and DiBiase, I think they'll probably be pretty funny together.
Well, I'm curious to see where they go here. I mean, LA Knight needed something. I'm still not a huge fan of his. I didn't care all that much for the ladder match last week, but I am solidly behind Cameron Grimes. But it did make sense to have LA Knight win because you want the babyface chasing.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Yes, you want him going after the heel. My thing with LA Knight is he needs to, like, I guess maybe because I associate it too much from his TNA days with the Eli Drake, and now it's LA Knight. That was one thing that I was never a big fan of, and now to see him still doing it, I was kind of like, I think he should have kind of reworked it when you came into NXT. But again, we'll see what kind of I'm looking forward to vignettes with Ted and Cameron Grimes, because I think we're going to see more of those. And the ones they did already leading into this were pretty funny.
They did seem to be getting better and better the more they worked together. You know, I would actually be curious if we do get that pairing and like DiBiase in the corner or something like that. And maybe LA Knight does, you know, tap out to the $1 million dream or something like that, you know, because it plays on that nostalgia. But ultimately, I think Ted should end up taking the $1 million belt. And once Grimes win it back, and then he just disappears, but he takes the belt with him because that's him.
Well, that's not a bad premise, because that's, you read my mind. That was my next question, is what happens with this $1 million title? Does it become a legitimate title? No, you don't want this title in NXT, right? So I was the same way. I'm thinking, well, yeah, does Grimes win it back and then it disappears? Or does Knight leave it in a bar somewhere and that's the end of it? So I don't know, but that I could see something like that would be good. And then that's it. And then, Ted's out of there altogether. He takes his belt and goes home.
That's right. All right, listen, we have got to say goodbye on the radio and free podcast version of this show. Mouth and I will be back doing Sunday Night's Main Event Extra after the extra music plays here. And tonight, Mouth and I will be doing the Hell in a Cell After Party. Join us at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Only a buck a week for a podcast a day. So we will be back for that, and we'll be back here on Terrestrial Radio next Sunday night, same time, same place. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNME Radio.